Thank you, Lord. Well, why don't you lift your hands to the Most High God and begin to bless His holy name? What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth adore. Even angels bow before Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God.
What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
Network Television, Pastor E.A. Adebuwe, delivering the word with passion and power.
Chapter 8, and I will read verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, reading verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. The theme, as you have been told, is in Christ alone. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is unique in many ways. One of the ways in which He's unique, of course, is found in Acts chapter 4 from verse 9 to 12. That's where we were told, Acts 4, 9 to 12, that there is no other name given among men whereby we might be saved. There is no other Savior other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that one way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. It's unique in many, many ways. And one of the other ways in which it's unique is that He has more names than any human being, living or dead. Today He calls Himself the Lamb. Tomorrow He's introduced to us as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The next time you see Him, He says, I am the way. Next time He says, I am the truth. Another time He says, I am the resurrection. Another time He says, I am the life. Next time you meet Him, He says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, the Almighty. He has many, many names. But one of His unique names, the one that we're going to spend the next probably 1 hour, because our time is fast spent on, is the one where He said, I am the Word. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and then verse 14, John 1, verse 1 to 3, and then verse 14, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He said the same was with God from the beginning. He said, by Him were all things made, and there was nothing made that was not made by Him. And then verse 14 there tells us that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, what makes this name, the Word, so unique and so powerful is that the Word has creative powers. In Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3, Genesis 1 verse 1 to 3, you hear it is written there where it is said, God said, let there be light, and suddenly there was light. The Word can create, which is good news for somebody, because there is something in your body that you lost that is going to be created anew. Not only has the Word the power to create, it also has the power to recreate. For example, in Mark chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, Mark 3, verse 1 to 5, the Bible tells us about a woman or a man with a withered hand. Jesus Christ just said to him, stretch forth your hand. And as he stretched forth the hand was restored as whole. To withered means it was okay initially, and therefore one reason or the other began to degenerate until it becomes completely withered. One word, and that hand that was withered was restored fully. The Word has the power to recreate. And it's going to do so tonight too. And then the Word has the ability to reverse the irreversible. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 10. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 10 tells us about a valley that was full of dry bones. And the Bible said, look, they were very dry. And when God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, God, only you can tell. God said, all right, let's do it the way I did it initially. You speak, prophesy. Prophesy to the dry bones. And said, dry bones, live again. And the man of God prophesied. And what was dry bones became an army. There is the power in the Word to reverse the irreversible. And I have good news for someone here tonight. That which you believe can never come back to you. The opportunity you thought you've lost forever is coming back to you tonight. But one of the beauties of the Word is that it can travel. You hear again and again in the scriptures, like in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2 to 3. 1 Kings 17, 2 to 3. The Word of God came to Elijah. The Word can travel. So I'm standing at this altar, and you are sitting somewhere there in the crowd, and suddenly the Word of God will travel to you. That's to me, probably because of what the Almighty God had done in my life thus far, I found that one so refreshing. Because there was a time when we gathered together like this, the very first Holy Ghost service, we were so few. The headquarters church then measured about 30 meters by 50 meters. It was full, you know, but we thought that was a big crowd. But people there were less than 1,000, so I was able to lay hands on everybody. Can you imagine my lay hands on everybody here tonight? By the time we finish, you have to lay hands on me. But now I don't even have to come near you at all. The Word can travel to you. And when the Word arrives, it performs miracles. So the Word is coming to someone here tonight, and it's going to perform miracles in your life. And another thing about the Word is that it is unlimited by time. Unlimited by time. Psalm 119 verse 89, Psalm 119 verse 89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Forever. O Lord. So the word is valid from the moment it's spoken until you begin to see the results. Once it's gone forth, time has nothing to do with its effectiveness. For example, as one of my sons was saying here, that I told them years ago that a day is coming when the head of state in this land will come and worship with us. They laughed at me then. They didn't quite laugh out loud. They just said amen in a manner that says, keep on deceiving yourself. It will interest you to know that exactly a week ago, I reminded the ministers at their ministers' conference. I said, maybe you didn't hear all I said at that time. I said, I told you that the time is coming, one of you will become prime minister. And you had the prophecy again now, coming from the prime minister. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter will be settled. I'm looking forward to a time very, very soon when I will come to this land and one of you as prime minister will welcome me at the airport. If you believe that, let me hear your amen loud and clear. Time does not limit the effectiveness of the word. So the word that's going to come to you tonight is going to become fulfilled. It might not be before the sun rises. It might be before the end of this month. And it might be before the end of this year. But one thing I am sure of is that once it comes to you today, you can be sure it's going to come to pass. You better say amen loud and clear to that. And then one other thing about the word is that it's unlimited by any opposition. Nobody can stand between you and what to hear. If you say you want to come to me for prayers and you want me to lay hands on you at all costs, you see all these people who are standing here? They will say you can't come even close. But no matter how many the people are, when the word goes forth, they can't stop it. Nobody can stand in the way of the word. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9, Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9, it says, let the whole earth fear before God. Why? Because he spake and it is done. Once he speaks, no opposition. And then, like someone mentioned earlier on, once the word of God starts moving, it won't stop until it has achieved the purpose for which it is sent. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. The Almighty God assured us there that the word that has gone forth out of his mouth shall not return to him void. What's the meaning of all this? Number one, it means that all that the sick needs to be healed is a word from the word. Jesus Christ is the word. And when the word comes from the word, the sick becomes healed. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13, Matthew 8, verse 5 to 13, a centurion came to Jesus Christ and said, please, sir, my servant is sick. I need healing for my servant. And the Lord said, oh, no problem, let's go and heal him. He said, no, you don't need to come. Speak a word only. And Jesus said, in that case, your servant is healed. And the servant became healed immediately. All that the great physician needs to do is speak a word to the sick, and the sick will be healed. Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalm 107 verse 20 said, he sent his word and healed them. Once the word has gone forth, by the time it arrives, healing comes. In Mark chapter 10, for example, verse 46 to 52, Mark 10, 46 to 52, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was passing by and Bartimaeus began to cry for help, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and said, bring him. When they brought him, Jesus said, what do you want? He said, I want to receive my sight. I'm tired of darkness. I want light. Check the story very well. Jesus didn't touch him. Jesus didn't pray for him. All he said was, he spoke and said, receive your sight. And the moment he spoke, he received his sight. I will tell you one or two stories tonight to illustrate the point I'm making. Because I believe that long before this night is over, somebody will hear a word. Yeah. I'll just remind you, you probably have had the testimony before. I think it was in Canada. I was ministering, and suddenly I had a word from God saying that there was someone there that the fellow will understand, that I should just tell the fellow the bleeding has stopped. I didn't know what that one meant, but I heard him, and I announced it. When it was testimony time, a woman came forward and said, I think for 3 years she had been bleeding nonstop. And it's not the bleeding of a small type, it's heavy, that she had to go everywhere with several pads. When she heard the word, the bleeding had stopped. She knew she was the one God was speaking to. She ran to the toilet, and not only has the bleeding stopped, the one that was already in the pad before the word came had disappeared. And I'm saying to someone here tonight, I don't know who you are, but that sickness is over. Yeah. Number two, all that the one who is bound needs to be free is to hear a word from the word. In Matthew 15, verse 22 to 28, Matthew 15, 22 to 28, the Bible tells us that a woman came to Jesus Christ and began to beg him and said, please help me. My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil. You know the meaning of that? He simply say, my daughter is mad. He was just putting it politely. And the Bible said initially Jesus didn't answer a word, but she pressed on. Until finally said, all right, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you as you have believed. And instantly, the daughter became normal again. You see, because when a man knows who he is, and I thank God for the song, I Know Who I Am. When somebody like the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows, according to Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10, Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10, that he is the Lord of hosts and that his name is respected in all the realms. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. When somebody knows the authority he has, he doesn't have to shout before miracles happen. All he has to do is just speak a word. I mean, I don't begin, when I'm in Nigeria, and by the grace of God, our pastors and ministers in Nigeria, they're a bit close to 200,000. And I move them around from time to time. When I want to tell somebody that he's been transferred from Lagos to Kano, for example, I don't need to stand and begin to say, my son, would you like to go to Kano? Please, I want to send you to Kano. No. I look at him, I say, John, your next assignment is in Kano. That's the end of the story. How he's going to get to Kano, that's not my business. Whether he's going to go by road or he wants to go by air, he can go and settle down with the admin section. I have said my own. Because by the grace of God, I have the authority to do so. Now there is someone who has the authority over all things. And his name is Jesus Christ. And when he says to demons, go, they must obey him. And so I am speaking on his behalf tonight. Every demon that follows you here, none will follow you home. I can tell you several stories on that. Maybe I tell you one that you don't know too much. There was a case in a town called Benin. A man left for work. After all the children had gone to school, he locked all the doors and all the windows. And then by the time the children came back, they found all the doors and windows securely locked. They opened the door and went in. And then the smallest of the children, a little girl, ran into the father's room. I don't know what he wanted to go and take there. And then she found an old woman sitting on the bed of her father. She ran back, shouted to the others, come and see what I see in my father's room. And they all ran to Papa's room, and there was no woman there. And so they said to the little girl, you stupid fellow, stop disturbing us. But the father came, and the girls ran to meet the father and said, Papa, I saw an old woman sitting on your bed. The father asked the other, they said, we saw nothing. So the father ignored the little girl. The man slept on that bed and was never able to get up again. I mean, he couldn't get up from there to go to the toilet. He couldn't leave the bed. That was the situation the man had been for weeks until we had a program in Benin, and they told me about the problem. I said they should go and bring him. They said, unless we bring the bed along. Because there was no way they could separate him from the bed. So I went in there and thanked God for somebody called the Deliverer. His name is Jesus Christ. I spoke to him. I said, are you ready to give your life to Jesus Christ? In a situation like that, you don't have to preach long. He gave his life to Jesus Christ, and I said, get up. And that's as simple as that. And if he escorted me to the car. Every force that has been tying you down, I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, be free in Jesus' name. Number three. Thank you, Father. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, they say you are incurable. He asked me to tell you, your testimony will be greater than that of Naaman. Number three, all the barren needs to be fruitful is a word from the Word. You see, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 9 to 14, Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, the Bible tells us that God paid Abraham and Sarah a visit. And all that God said was, Abraham, tell your wife, 9 months from now, she will have a son. You know the story very well. Sarah didn't believe. She just laughed. But God said, no problem. Keep laughing. I've already spoken. And 9 months later, the baby came. In fact, she laughed so much, the baby was named Laughter. And when you read Judges chapter 13, verse 2 to 24, Judges 13, verse 2 to 24, an angel visited the wife of Manoah, the mother of Samson. all that the angel said is, woman, I know they say you are barren, but you are going to have a son. And the rest of the story is simple. Very soon, the baby came. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 20, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 20, all that Hannah had was a word from Eli. She's been going to Shiloh for years. But the moment she heard from the high priest, the Lord grant your request, that was what settled it. The moment the word came, the matter was settled. Or if you read 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17, tells us the story of the Shunammite woman. The Bible says she was a wealthy woman, and she had been taking care of Elisha for a while, until one day Elisha said to the woman, what can I do for you? And the woman said, I don't need any help. And then Elisha discovered that the woman was barren. He spoke and said, woman, within a year, you will embrace your son. The woman, of course, didn't believe, but once the word has gone forth, nothing can stop it. And now I'm speaking on behalf of the Most High God tonight. As the Lord lives, a year from now, those who are considered barren here will come rejoicing with their children. Some of you have had the testimony before. A couple came to us saying, sir, please pray for us. We've been married for so long, and so on and so forth. And I said, okay, what kind of baby do you want? How do you want your baby? The husband shouted, a boy. Instantaneously, the wife shouted, a girl. I said, okay, how about a set of twins? One boy, one girl. They said, amen. A year later, the twins were 3 months old. The one was a boy, the other was a girl. So maybe I will once again ask those who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, how do you want your babies? Well, I can't quite hear you, but whatever you ask for, receive it in Jesus' name. Number 4. Forgive me if I'm hurrying. It's because our time is a bit fast spent. All that the failure needs to succeed is to hear a word from the word. Just one word. You see, because Jesus Christ alone is the secret of unstoppable success. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Philippians 4, thank you, Father. The Lord said there is someone here tonight. He said, the one who is determined to truncate your destiny will not last much longer. Thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here. He said, suddenly you find yourself in an alarming situation. He asked me to tell you to relax. He will intervene. Where were we? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. As long as you have Christ in you, success is guaranteed. And what you have been waiting for, those of you who have been failing, what you have been waiting for is just a word from the Lord. And that word is coming to you tonight. And that word is, you shall not fail again. You see, because if you look at Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Luke 5 verse 1 to 7. It tells us the story of a man who had failed. That's Peter. He fished all night, he caught nothing. It is interesting, if you read that story, when Jesus told him what to do, Peter said, I have fished all night, I have caught nothing, but at thy word. He said, because I heard your word saying, do this, I will do it. And you know the rest of the story. He became so successful, he couldn't even handle the wealth. I had a testimony from one of my sons not too long ago. He said, Daddy, I thank God for the word that came in one of the Holy Ghost services. He said, I can now tell you confidentially, there's nothing I can do now to stop money from coming in. Now that's a testimony. I'm believing God that I will hear that from you too. You find another example in John chapter 5, verse 2 to 9. John 5, verse 2 to 9. The Bible tells us of a man who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus Christ saw him lying there at the pool of Bethesda, and he said to him, will you be made whole? The man said, I have tried for 38 years to get into the pool. I have failed for 38 years. But now, if you say, get up, take your bed and go, okay, at your word, let me see if I can get up. And you know the rest of the story. He got up and he was made completely whole. He had failed for 38 years. But once the word came, failure ended. Now, like I said, I can always tell you many, many testimonies from my experience. But there was one. I don't know if I've told this one before. The word came to me. I didn't know it was God speaking there. Several years ago, I was a student at the University of Nigeria, Nsukka, and it was examination time. I sat down. They gave us a question paper, and we had to answer 5 out of 8. And those of you who have done a little bit of mathematics, you know that in mathematics, it's either you know the answer or you don't. There's no guesswork. So I sat down. I read the first question. I couldn't understand it. I read the second, the third. By now I was sweating. I read the fourth. I read the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth. Everything was blank. And I'm sure there are some students here who will know what I'm talking about. And I felt like getting up and go. I mean, if I don't know what is there, whether you get 0 or you get less than 40%, you still have to come and repeat the paper. So I just decided to get up and go. And I think at that time must be the first time I ever heard from God. I think I heard that voice that said, sit down. So I sat down. Everybody was writing furiously. I wasn't writing anything because I couldn't make head or tail of the questions. But after about 15 minutes, I looked at the questions again. I looked at the first one. I know this. This is so-so-so formula. I looked at the second. This is so-so-so theory. I looked at the third. To cut a long story short, I went through all 8. They're all familiar. So I began to write. I finished before everybody. And because I was young and a little bit rascally, I wrote at the top of the answer sheet, mark any 5. Because I knew I would score 100%. There was no doubt about it. I prophesy to someone here today, you will never fail again. I say it one more time. I say you will never fail again. Number 5. Thank you, Father. The Lord asked me to tell you a story. And I hope you will listen carefully. Several years ago, must be around 1979 or 1980, We were very small, and a preacher came from America at my invitation. And as he was preaching to our small group, and you know the way the American preachers do their preaching, they don't stand in one spot like myself, they move about. Suddenly, he came down the altar and pointed at one particular person among us. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, if you will worship me, I will make you a millionaire." And then he went back and continued preaching. We were all very jealous of the man. How come God picked him out of all of us? And I'm telling you, he was the poorest among us. I mean, he was married, he had 5 children, and they were all living in one room and a parlor. Within 6 months, he had become a millionaire. Within 6 months. But then all of a sudden, we didn't see him in church anymore. So, what's happening? We did a follow-up. I'm still serving the Lord. You see, but business is booming. Last Sunday I was in Geneva. The Sunday before I was in Switzerland. What were you doing there at the time when you are supposed to be? Oh, that's the time when my business partners had time for me. And then one day I heard that he had a heart attack. Young man, much younger than I. So I sent some people to go and pray for him. When he recovered enough to come and see me, he came. I said, "What happened? How can somebody like you have a heart attack? I mean, everything is going well now. There's money everywhere." Then he told me. They gave him a contract. It was a time when they were building Abuja, the capital of Nigeria. They gave him a contract for more than, let's use your currency, more than 200 million pounds. And they told him that by the time he got halfway or to a particular level, they would pay him half of the money. A week before he got to that point, they canceled the contract. That's what gave him the heart attack. So I said, "Sir, I was there the day they prophesied to you that you will become a millionaire, provided you will worship God." So I told him, I said, "I can assure you in the name of the God that I serve, because his word is forever settled. I said, this contract they've taken from you will not be given to any other person. God is trying to get your attention. He wants you to return to serve him. If you will serve him, he will restore." Unfortunately, he was too far gone to come back to God. And he never got the business back. All right. God asked me to tell you that story because he's speaking to someone now. He asked me to tell you, if your obedience to me will be complete, I will move you to an era of rapid multiplication. Now, I hope you heard the first part. If your obedience is what? I can't hear you. If your obedience is complete. He said, I will move you to an era of multiplication. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Now, all that the defeated needs to be victorious is to hear a word from the word. Why? Because Christ is called the man of war. Exodus 15 verse 3. Exodus 15 verse 3 says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Again and again, he is called the Almighty. Psalm 91 verse 1. Psalm 91 verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty, Almighty God. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, he says his name is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, the Almighty. Just a word, and the defeated will become the triumphant. You find an example in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 to 25. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, by the time I finish my restorative work in your life, nobody will believe your testimony. Thank you, Lord. I rejoice whoever this one is. The Lord says there's someone here. He said, they have told you there is no hope for you. He said, let me assure you, they left me out of their calculations. Thank you, Father. I want to say amen to this one before I tell you. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said you will soon be singing victory, victory, hallelujah, 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 victory, victory, hallelujah. Jesus conquered the devil. If you are the one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Oh my. I know this is going to be a great night, but again, listen, please listen carefully. It's a long time. We've had it this good before our last. The Lord said that there are some people who have been troubled by covenants. And I think he's mentioning four cases now. So please listen carefully. I will mention all four. You don't need to get up until I've mentioned all four. So nobody will know which one is your own. The Lord said there is someone here. You entered into a blood covenant with someone that you will marry the fellow. Then you broke the covenant and married somebody else. The Lord said since you got married, everything had turned upside down. He says it's because of that blood covenant. But he wants to destroy that covenant tonight. So that's the first one. Please take note. The second one, he says somebody entered into a covenant that on the day of his or her wedding is going to die. And the Lord said, out of mercy, he had kept sweeters away from you. But because the covenant will be destroyed tonight, the way will be opened again. Yes. That's number two. Number three, the Lord said there's someone who said that she would die at childbirth. And because of the covenant, the womb refused to cooperate. He said, if I break the covenant tonight, suddenly your womb will begin to operate the way it should. The fourth one, he said, there's someone here tonight, you enter into a covenant to have plenty of money. And then to die after so many years. And the Lord said, this is the year that death is to come, even though you didn't make much money. Now, you don't need to come forward, but if you belong to one of those four groups, you must stand up so I can pray over you and destroy the covenant. And I don't have time to waste. I told you, if the river is flowing and you don't pull it out when it's your turn, it will flow away. So I will only mention 1, 2, 3, 4. If by the time I say 4, you are not standing, I just continue with my service. You know, there's no way I could have known what I've just told you if God didn't tell me. So if you belong to any of the four groups, stand very quickly. I'm counting now. 1. Okay. 2. There's more than those who are standing. You better hurry up. 3. If anybody asks you which one is your own, ask them to mind their own business. It's not their business. Have I counted up to 3? Let me repeat 3 again, just in case there's one who is still slow. And if you are sitting next to your husband, it doesn't matter. Stand up, because the rest of your life depends on this very moment. It's your destiny now that is at stake. All right. 4, and that's the final count. Bow your heads and I will pray. My Father and my God, I want to thank you. Thank you for this special love that we have for these people who are standing. I'm pleading the blood of the Lamb over them now. The same blood that conquers Satan, I know can cancel any covenant. Let that blood speak for them now in Jesus' name. And let every evil covenant in their life be destroyed right now. My Father and my God, the problem in the marriage of that your son or daughter who broke the blood covenant of marriage, please let the problem cease now in Jesus' name. The one that the covenant is keeping the suitors away, I'm praying, Lord God Almighty, that even before the end of this month, the right person will show up. The one that the covenant is keeping the womb from conceiving, I pray, Lord God Almighty, that before the end of this month, there be a shout of joy in the family. And Lord, the one that has the covenant of death and vis-a-vis wealth, because the fellow is here tonight, I cancel that date with death in Jesus' name and give you all glory for it, Lord. Thank you, my Father and my God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Please give the Lord a big round of applause. That's a major miracle. That's a major miracle. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 to 25, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1 to 25, there were 3 mighty armies marching against Jehoshaphat. They were going to swallow him up completely. He knew he was already defeated even before fighting. But then the word came. And the word that came to him was that the battle is not his own, but that of the Lord. That he will not need to fight in the battle, but God will fight for him. And you know the rest of the story. He became absolutely victorious. I'm speaking on behalf of the Almighty God to anyone here today who is feeling already defeated. Your victory begins right now in Jesus' name. I've always told the story. I think I would jump the story because I don't have much time left. Let's go to number 6. All that the destitute needs to hear to begin to overflow is a word from the Word. You see, because Christ alone is the owner of all, Psalm 24 verse 1, Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's why you find in 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 8 to 16, in the story of the widow of Zarephath. That widow was destitute. She had only one meal left, just to eat that one meal and die. But the word came from a prophet of the Most High God that the food will never finish in her house. And from the moment the word came, the flour kept on multiplying and the oil kept multiplying. You have another example, of course, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7. Again, the story of another widow who had nothing in the house but just a pot of oil. And then the creditors have come to take away her children. She ran to the man of God, and the man of God made a word of, just a word. He said, go, borrow a lot of empty vessels, lock the door on yourself and the son, begin to pour out. And whenever the one vessel is full, set it aside. Now the woman could have said, sir, the pot of oil I have is very small. How can he fill even one vessel? But she didn't argue. Somehow she knew that the word has gone forth, and that word, when it enters into the oil, will multiply the oil. And the oil kept on flowing until there's no more vessel to contain. And I'm believing God for someone here tonight who is having a lot of problem financially. The word of God is coming to you now. By the next time I see you, your testimony is that God is blessing me beyond measure. And I can tell you several stories on this one. Some of you have heard my story before of when I traveled to the east of Nigeria, and I didn't know that there was fuel scarcity, and I was returning, and I got to Onitsha. There was no fuel. I still had some in my car, so I thought I would get fuel in Benin. I got to Benin, there was no fuel. I said, I will get fuel when I get to Ore, because Ore is a depot. I got to the depot itself, no fuel. And by that time, when I looked at the gauge of my car, it was already reading reserve. And I still had to travel from Ore to Lagos. Those of you who know a little bit of Nigeria, you know that's going to take quite a bit of fuel to travel. And I said, Lord, what do I do? And I heard a word from him. You will hear a word from the Lord tonight. And he said, son, take your eyes off the gauge and drive on. Now, each time I tell this story, some people say, that's a crazy thing to do. Well, if you hear from the Lord, it makes a lot of difference. You will hear from the Lord tonight. And I kept on driving. And I took my eyes off the gauge because my Lord has spoken. And I drove on reserve till I got to Lagos. It was when I parked in my house that I now look at the gauge. And the gauge reads empty. How did I get home? Many people don't believe my story. That doesn't mean anything to me. I know it is true. I know no liar is going to heaven. But the one who multiplied the oil of the widow of the son of the prophet is still on his throne. I'm prophesying to someone here today, whatever little money you have left will never finish. Okay, I was going to tell you another story, but God has just spoken something to me that is beautiful. Ah, thank you, my daddy. The Lord asked me to tell someone here tonight. He said, I support your decision. Whatever you reject tonight shall be forbidden. Ah. I don't know if you know the meaning of that. I've never heard that one from God before. This is probably going to go down in history as one of the best FOL ever. He says, whatever you reject tonight shall become forbidden. Because I support your decision. You know what I want us to do? I want you to stand on your feet and reject everything you don't want. Just go ahead and keep on rejecting. I reject sickness. I reject pain. I reject sorrow. I reject failure. I reject all kinds of bondage. I reject stagnation. I reject opposition from any source. I reject everything that is evil. I reject failure in the life of my children. I reject any form of calamity. I reject every form of tragedy. I reject everything that is contrary to the will of God in my life. I reject pain. I reject ache. I reject sickness. I reject premature death. I reject every plan of the devil concerning my life. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. It's done already. No, I'm not just saying it. God had said it before I said it. If I were you, I would shake hands with two or three people and I said, thank God I came. Thank God I came. Then you may be seated. Now, let me just move on then and begin to round up because of time. All that the cursed needs to hear to be blessed is a word from the word. You see, because it's Christ alone that can give a brand new beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things become new means curses can be brushed aside. In Numbers 23:8, it is written, When he blesses, no man can curse. And when he wants to bless, that's the beauty about the word, no man is permitted to hinder. In Mark 10:13-16, the Bible tells us that when some parents brought little children to Jesus Christ, they want him to bless their children. And some people were pushing them away. Hey, don't. Jesus was angry. I said, suffer little children to come unto me, forbid them not. I want to bless them and you are blocking their way. You move out of the way. And he grabbed the children, laid his hand on them, and he blessed them. And he reserved the right to change a curse to a blessing. I've always told you the story of Levi, at least those of you who are old enough to remember. In Genesis 49, if you read it from verse 1 to 7, Genesis 49 verse 1 to 7, the Bible tells us that when Israel was about to die, he called his children together He said, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. And when your father is on his deathbed, whatever he says concerning you is a settled matter. He then started talking, told the one that he said, because he misbehaved, even though it was his firstborn, he said it would never amount to anything. And then came to Levi. He said, Levi, you are going to be scattered in Israel. And after I finish all the curses and blessings, he blessed Judah, he caused this one, he died. Meaning there's no room for negotiation. What he said is a settled matter. But by the time we got to Numbers chapter 3, verse 11 to 13, Numbers 3, verse 11 to 13, the Bible said the word of God came to Moses saying, you see, Levi, that the father said shall be scattered. He said, I, the Almighty, have decided. Levi shall be special to me. Levi shall be my firstborn. The one that the father said he would be a vagabond. The Almighty God said, no, no, no. When others are far away, this is the one who will be near. God can change a curse to a blessing. Every one of you living under a curse, in the name that's above every other name, that curse is broken tonight. And in the place of every curse, I pronounce a blessing on you in Jesus' name. All right, Lord, thank you. I will tell you the story. He wants me to tell you a story in a moment. I will tell you. But you see, what happened? What is it that led to God changing a curse to a blessing for Levi? It was something that happened in Exodus 32, verse 25 to 26. Exodus 32, from verse 25 to 26. The children of Israel were worshiping an idol that Aaron made for them when Moses went to collect the Ten Commandments. When Moses was returning, he found that all the children of Israel were dancing naked before an idol. And he wanted to punish them. But he realized that these people can be very troublesome. In the past, they have tried to stone him. Now, to face them alone is going to be dangerous. So he did something. He stood outside the camp and cried with a loud voice, anyone who is on the side of the Lord, let him come to me. And the Bible said, all the children of Levi came to his side. God looked down from heaven and said, Levi, you are my side? God said, in that case, I also am on your side. Your father said you will be vagabond, but now I say you will be my firstborn. You will be special unto me. I decree tonight, whether the curse is from your father's side or from your mother's side or from your father's, your husband's house or from your wife's house, every curse on your life, I break tonight in Jesus' name. Just one word, and the cursed will become the blessed. Now, the story that the Lord asked me to tell you, I will tell you now. The first time I was in London, I was on my way to America. I traveled by the Nigeria Airways of blessed memory. And so we arrived late, as usual, and I missed my connecting flight. And so they put me in an hotel and gave me 3 coupons, one for lunch, one for dinner, one for breakfast the following day, to catch the following morning flight. I got to the hotel, it was time to eat, and I went to the restaurant. When I got down there, I discovered there were 2 restaurants, one to the right, one to the left. I didn't know which is which. I was new. So I just said, well, because I was already a Christian there. I said, when I get to heaven, I know I'm going to turn to the right. So I went to the right restaurant. That was the first time I saw buffet. I mean, the food was all over the place. And I sat at a table. And a white man came to serve me. Oh, I wish somebody would be there to take the picture. So I can go and show it in my village. Come and look at me being served by a white man. After he gave me water to drink, he said, well, the food is all you can eat, and you go and serve yourself. And I can tell you, I did some damage. I ate in the afternoon, came back in the evening, the same thing. The following morning, the same thing. Then it was time to leave. All the time, nobody asked for my coupon. But I knew I mustn't go with the coupon. I'm supposed to drop it. So as I was leaving the following morning, I gave the coupon to the fellow at the gate. She looked at the coupon and said, you are economy class? I said, yes. You should have been going to the left. The one on the right is for first class. I didn't wait to hear anymore. Now the Lord asked me to tell you that story, because the Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, the blessings you don't qualify for, I will give them unto you. Oh, thank you, my Father. I'm about to close, but the Lord is still speaking. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight, and I want to say amen to it before I tell you. He said, long before the end of this year, out of your heart will flow rivers of joy. In closing, the word is coming to someone tonight. And the word that is coming to someone tonight is in Matthew 11. Verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, the Lord is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But it's also saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and you find rest for your soul. He said, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Lord is saying to someone tonight, he says, stop struggling. Come to me, let me help you. Come to me, let me take the burden off you. Come to me, let me give rest to your soul. But he's also saying, if you come to me for rest, you must know you are coming under a new management. If you come to me and you want me to solve all your problems, you must know that when you come to me, you will live by my rules. That's what he means by take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He is saying, if you come to me from this moment onward, my word will be your command. Whatever I say is what you will do. If you come unto me, you must say bye-bye to a life of sin. You have been under the management of Satan all these years. You've been living in sin, you've been lying, you've been cheating, you've been fornicating, you've been doing all manners of things. But what is there to show for it other than sorrow, other than problems, other than lack of peace of mind? So he said, you have to make a choice tonight. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. But you must come under my new management. So if you are the one that God is talking to, and you know you are in this crowd, you know you haven't really surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, even though you might be going to church. You know you are still living a life of sin, even though you shout hallelujah from time to time. But you want to really surrender your life to Jesus Christ so that he can take over everything, so that he can take your bodies away, he can take away your sorrows, he can take away all your struggles. If you know you really want to surrender to him, I'm going to count from 1 to 10. Before I say 10, I want you to come and stand before me here, and I will pray for your salvation, and everything will become new for you. And I'm counting now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 now. Those of you who are on the way, don't stop. Just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Now, those of us who are already in the front, let's begin to talk to Jesus. Tell him, I've come to surrender my life to you. Please save my soul. Take over my life from this moment onward. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. And now the rest of us, please, let's stretch our hands towards these people and intercede for them. Pray that the Almighty God who saved your soul will save their souls also. And those of you on the way, just keep coming, keep coming. I'll wait a little bit for you to arrive. Keep coming. Let's intercede for them, brethren. Pray that the Almighty God will have mercy on them, that he will forgive all their sins, that he will give them a brand new beginning. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Savior, I want to bless your holy name. I want to thank you for your word. And I want to thank you very, very much for this, your children that have come forward to surrender their lives to you. Please remember your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will nowise cast out. They've come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Forgive them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let your blood wipe away their sins in Jesus' name. Save their souls tonight and write their names in the book of life. And I pray that from now on, any time they call on you, you will answer them by fire. Please don't let them backslide. Let them serve you to the end. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Congratulations. I rejoice with you, and I want to make you a solemn promise that from tonight onward, by the grace of God, I'll be praying for you. That's why I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer request. And I promise you, I'll be praying for you. So if you turn to your left, you see a man holding a piece of wood high up there. If you follow him, some pastors are waiting. They will collect your name, your address, and the information I need, your prayer request, and they bring me a copy, and I promise you I'll be praying for you. So let's begin to go now. Congratulations. Let's get excited. Can't you see what God has done? Clap for Jesus Christ as they go. Clap for Jesus as they go.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? He's been knocking very low. He's been knocking for so long. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, 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 he's at the door.
Oh, let somebody shout a really big hallelujah. You know, the Bible says when a single soul is saved, Jesus gets up in heaven and he dances. So you can see how many people will be dancing because of them tonight. I think you should rejoice with the Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, I want to give you some prayer points. We don't have too much time, but at least get the prayer points down, and then we'll pray for a while before we continue. Number one, you want to praise God that you are here tonight. I am extremely excited myself that He made it possible for me to be here tonight. So praise Him that we are here tonight. And then number two, you say, Father, please speak. Let my body hear your word. And make me whole. Father, please speak. Let my body hear your word and make me whole. Three. Father, please speak. Let my entire system hear your word and be made free. From every yoke. Number four, Father, please speak. So that fruitlessness will end forever in my life. Speak so that fruitlessness will end forever in my life. Five. Father, please speak to my future. So that I will never know failure or defeat again. Father, please speak to my future. So that I will never know failure or defeat again. Six. Father, please speak to my resources. So that I will never lack again. Speak to my resources so that I will never lack again. Number 7. Father, please speak and change all curses in my life to blessings. Change all curses in my life to blessings. Because of time, you will pray only for 15 minutes, but make sure you pray it with all your heart. Forget everyone on your right, everyone on your left. If you want to come to the altar to pray, you are welcome. You can pray standing up. You can pray standing or kneeling down. If you like, you can pray lying down. But make sure you pray. We have only 15 minutes, so make it very intense. Those 7 points, take them before the Almighty God now. He's here to listen to you tonight. Let's go ahead and pray.